48. Montauk. Tito sat, eyes resolutely closed, within his music. Aside from vibration and the noise of the engine, there was nothing to suggest forward motion. He had no idea of their direction. He stayed within the music, with Ochun, who held him above his fear. He saw her, eventually, as the waters of a stream, crossing pebbles, descending a hillside, through thick growth. He became aware of a bird overhead, above the stream, beyond treetops. He felt the machine turning. The Prada man, seated beside him, touched his wrist. Tito opened his eyes. The man was pointing, saying something. Tito removed the Nano's earphones, but still he couldn't hear, only the sound of the engine. Through a curved plastic window, he saw the sea below, low waves rolling into a rocky beach. In a wide, grassy clearing, shaven into low brown woods, white buildings were arranged around a square loop of beige road. The old man, in the seat in front of Tito, beside the pilot, had a large blue headset clamped over his ears. Tito had scarcely noticed the pilot, having closed his eyes as soon as he'd managed to fasten his seatbelt. Now he saw the man's gloved hand on a bent steel stick, his thumb pressing buttons on a grip like the one on an arcade game. The rounded, slightly irregular square of road and the white buildings grew steadily larger. The largest of the buildings, clearly a house, with lower wings extending from either side, stood beyond the loop, facing the sea, broad windows staring emptily. The other buildings, clustered as far away as possible on the loop, behind the house, seemed to be smaller houses and a wide garage. There were no trees or bushes, once the brown woods ended. There was a scoured quality to the buildings, which he now could see were made of white-painted wood. In this northern climate, he knew, wooden houses might stand for a very long time, as there seemed to be nothing to eat them. In Cuba, only the hardest woods from the Zapata swamp forests could withstand insects for so long. He saw a long black car, stationary on one side of the beige loop, midway between the big house and the smaller ones. They swung in over the beach, sand rushing past beneath them, low over the slanting gray roof of the big house. The machine halted, impossibly, in midair, then settled toward grass. The old man removed his headset. The Prada man reached across, unfastening Tito's seatbelt. He passed Tito the bag containing his APC jacket. Tito's stomach clenched as the helicopter met solid ground. The tone of its roaring changed. The Prada man had opened a door, was gesturing Tito out. Tito climbed out and was almost knocked to the ground by the wind from the rotors. Crouching low, the wind tearing at his eyes, he grabbed the cap to keep it from being blown off. Prada man scrambled under the fuselage and helped the old man down from a door on the opposite side. Obeying the man's gestures, still crouching, he scrambled after the two in the direction of the black car. The pitch of the roaring changed. Tito turned to see the helicopter lifting, like some clumsy magic trick. It swung suddenly toward the sea, out over the big house, then rose higher, receding against the cloudless sky.